For KBIA News, I'm Jason Hoffman. When it comes to voters statewide, the question isn't so much who you're voting for, but what. This election cycle finds Missouri with just one statewide elected office on the ballot. Republican auditor Tom Schweik is heavily favored over two third-party candidates who haven't reported spending any money against him. Instead, voters are being greeted by a series of ballot questions aimed at specific issues. The state's eight congressional districts are also up, as are two local races that have gained attention in recent weeks: the St. Louis County executive seat and a judge's position in Cole County. Polls opened at 6 a.m. and will close at 7 p.m. tonight. Today's ballot features four proposals, including an amendment to base teacher evaluations largely on student performance data. Proposed Constitutional Amendment 3 is opposed by public education groups, and the sponsors have quit campaigning for it. Proposed Constitutional Amendment 6 would create a six-day, no-excuses-needed early voting period for general elections, but only if the state provides funding. Proposed Constitutional Amendment 2 would allow allegations of past criminal acts to be used against those facing sex-related charges involving victims under 18 years old. And proposed Constitutional Amendment 10 would allow lawmakers to override a governor's decision to freeze or slow spending on items in the state budget. Republicans are expected to keep their majorities in the Missouri House and Senate, but the strength of their numbers could determine how much they can accomplish. Republicans are shooting to retain a two-thirds majority of at least 23 Senate seats and 109 House seats in order to be able to override vetoes by Democratic Governor Jay Nixon. The divide between Nixon and state lawmakers is so wide that U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill and other top Democratic officeholders poured hundreds of thousands of dollars into the state party to help finance this year's legislative races. They're hoping Democrats can cut into the Republican supermajority. 3 months ago, the two candidates for St. Louis County Executive couldn't have anticipated how a race normally about the nuts and bolts of local government would become something of a referendum on police killings. But the shooting death of 18-year-old Michael Brown, who was black, by a white police officer in Ferguson in August transformed the election. Brown was killed by Officer Darren Wilson just 4 days after Democratic County Councilman Steve Stenger defeated 11-year incumbent Charlie Dooley, and conservative state lawmaker Rick Stream won a two-man Republican primary. Stenger has become a primary target of Ferguson protesters for his steadfast support of County Prosecutor Bob McCullough and his refusal to join their calls for McCullough to recuse himself from the case over concerns about his family ties to law enforcement. In early October, a group of more than 30 local elected black leaders publicly endorsed Stream, citing a, quote, total absence of any political consideration for the African-American community among county Democrats. Attention and lots of money have been pouring into Cole County, where Republican Brian Stumpy has received big money from the GOP in his bid to oust Cole County Circuit Court Judge Pat Joyce. Cole County is home to the state capitol, meaning its judges hear cases that question the constitutionality of legislation or the wording of statewide ballot initiatives. Joyce is now the only Democratic judge in the circuit court, and a national GOP group has swooped in to try to seat another Republican in her spot. That's made the local judicial election, typically sleepy, low-budget affairs, one of the more interesting races in Missouri, even though most voters will have no say whether to elect Stumpy or Joyce, who's held the post since 1994. The Columbia City Council unanimously approved last night plans for a fueling station at the Gerb supermarket on the corner of Clinkscales Road and West Ash Street. Bram Sablesmith from KBIA's Civics Desk has more.
The council included several amendments to the ordinance, including limits on the amount of signage, inclusion of a ramp and walkway to meet ADA specifications, and a ban on tobacco advertisement outside of the station's kiosk, which will be located near the city's Activities and Recreation Center and West Middle School. Representatives from Dillon Stores, which operates the Gerbs chain, and Shelter Enterprises, which owns the Broadway Shopping Center, spoke in support of the plan, as did Polly Peterson, who lives near the proposed fueling station.
I could drive any place in town and do constantly, but I like shopping at Gerbs.
Tom McNabb, speaking on behalf of 20 residents in the area, said the five fuel islands proposed in the plan were too many for the neighborhood.
Five islands would not be a neighborhood fueling station.
The council did consider an additional amendment, which would have reduced the number of pumps at the station before ultimately voting to allow five at the site. Bram Sablesmith, KBIA News.
The previously issued no-fly zone over Ferguson, Missouri, faces some opposition. Some say safety was the reason for the no-fly zone, while others say it was to prevent media access. KBIA's Haley Hughes gives us the details.
The Federal Aviation Administration issued a no-fly zone for the airspace surrounding Ferguson on August 11th for safety. According to an article on the New York Daily News website, the recordings obtained by the Associated Press officials acknowledged a different purpose for the no-fly zone. The website stated it was to keep news helicopters from covering the violent demonstrations in Ferguson. FAA spokesperson Tony Molinaro did not verbally comment on the purpose. He simply said,
"All we're stating right now is the statement and not going beyond that at this time."
The statement read that the FAA issue no-fly zone was erring on the side of safety to protect low-flying aircraft from gunshots fired into the air from the ground. It also read that FAA cannot and will never exclusively ban media from covering an event of national significance. Haley Hughes, KBIA News.
A monthly economic survey index for 9 Midwestern and Plains states has dropped again. A survey report issued early Monday says the overall Mid-Atlantic Business Conditions Index fell in October to 51.8 from 54.3 in September. Creighton University economist Ernie Gross oversees the survey, and he says sharp declines in grain and crude oil prices drove down the overall index for the month. He says the index figure points to slow economic gains ahead. The survey results from supply managers are compiled into a collection of indexes ranging from 0 to 100. Survey organizers say any score above 50 suggests economic growth, while a score below that suggests decline. For KBIA News, I'm Jason Hoffman.